Hey yo, what up? This is the Almighty Proclaim at ProclaimCreations.com. Give it up to my boys, Wolf and Sapien, the Rational Responders, coming to you live and direct.
RationalResponders.com. If you are listening to our live stream, join us in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Rational Response Squad. I am one of your hosts, Sapient.
I am Rick Hawkins.
I am Yellow Number 5.
And we are
the Rational Response Squad.
Today, we will be joined by Ray Comfort, and unfortunately, the way it's going to work out, Rook and Mike will not be able to join them.
You have to cut out, sorry guy.
And you're going to have to slay some fundies in the Dennis McKenzie forum, right?
Yeah, Dennis and I, we have to tackle some apologetics and can't be here.
And Mike has to do some lab work.
I'm going to be stuck in my laboratory, got reports and experiments to finish up.
Doing science-y stuff,
yeah. Really wanted to be involved in this one, but unfortunately, we're recording Friday afternoon. Intro Friday afternoon.
Yeah, for you, those of you that don't realize this, what we're doing here is we're actually recording this on a Saturday. I've already interviewed Ray Comfort yesterday.
Dun, dun, dun.
We just pieced this stuff together afterwards. And,
you don't really know what we're doing.
We kind of do it in a, try to make it an entertaining way for you, as entertaining as we can. So we will have, in a moment, a good friend of ours on L.A. Rapucci, who will give us a segment of Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying. And that will segue us right into Ray Comfort. And when I have Ray Comfort on, we'll be joined by Chaos Lord 2004 as my Rational Responder backup team.
It's always good to get him on. Yeah. He's a really intelligent guy. And
He's probably smarter than Rooker. Yeah.
So. But combined, yeah. Like his knowledge, like, you know.
Yeah. So before we allow Ray Comfort to come on, I need to tell the audience about the greatest atheist website on the internet. It's evolvefish.com. Of course, they're the greatest atheist website on the internet until somebody decides to pay us more to say they're the greatest. No, I kid you.
They're great.
We are taking care of business, but we wouldn't have asked them to be a sponsor of ours if we didn't wholeheartedly believe that they were the best free thought related material website that you can go to on the internet to spend your cold hard cash.
Yep. Books. Buttons, stickers, hats, clothing.
Little plastic things.
You know, little plastic Jesus bobbleheads.
Awesome.
You know,
I love those things.
All kinds of stuff.
They bobble.
Wash away your sins hand soap.
That's cool awesome. Stuff.
Everything but Ray Comfort's book, actually.
Evolve Fish is where you can pick up the Evolve Fish that you've seen on the back of cars. Yeah. Where yeah. It looks just like a IXOYE fish, but instead it's got a little feet.
And a wrench.
And a little wrench. Because
he's so cute.
Using his tools. Yes. Yeah, he rocks. You can pick up all kinds of other fish, too. Like, my favorite's the procreation fish, where the Jesus fish is getting humped by Darwin fish.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
They got the flying spaghetti monster, too. All kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, let me click here. I'm on their website right now. And just bring your attention to a couple of books by Dan Barker on there as well. If you have children, they're, say, over 4 or 5. These books are fine. You can read them to your kids. They have a bunch of free thought books for kids, which are kind of hard to find at your regular bookstore. And specifically the line from Dan Barker, maybe right, maybe wrong, maybe yes, maybe no, and just pretend. My son reads these all the time. In fact, I told him once, hey, Jordan! Jordan? Come here.
Time for Stay Away music.
No, I'll just cut a lot of it out. Here, hop on this mic.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, George, how's it going, buddy?
Good.
We were just telling the audience who listens to our show how good the Dan Barker books are for kids. These books right here. What do you think of that book?
It's pretty good.
Has it taught you anything?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like the book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And which ones have you read?
Just Pretend, Humanism for Kids, Affirmations of Humanism for Kids, and also Alexander Fox and the Amazing Mind Reader. You could get all these books at evolvefish.com.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming. Go back
You're
up.
Welcome.
Go back upstairs and do some kiddie stuff again.
Yay. Thank you.
Thanks, J-Rock. That's right, folks. Check out evolvefish.com, and I've got a great way for you to buy from evolvefish.com. Go to our website, rationalresponders.com, and click on the left-hand side. You'll see a link at the bottom, Atheist Goodies, it's called. And there's a nice square banner there for evolvefish.com, right under the God Who Wasn't There logo. Buy through that link, and we'll get an extra little spiff from our listeners going to Evolve Fish from our website. And while you're there, buy a copy of the God Who Wasn't There movie right above it. For $25, supports us, supports Brian Fleming. Brian Fleming's co-opted with us because he believes in what we're doing, and of course we believe in what he's doing as well. So
absolutely,
definitely make sure to help us out. Additionally, another way you can help us out is you can subscribe to our show. You missed the subscription to the first five shows, but if you'd like to subscribe to the first five shows and get a copy of all first five shows, there's a still link available. You can pay $5 and you'll get a link in your email box to download all five shows of the first five shows. Additionally, in order to get the next shows, that is the Ray Comfort show that you're going to be listening to right now, the Luigi Cascioli show, a Richard Carrier show. Those are in our shows 6 through 15. In order to get all of those shows, you will need to subscribe for $13.66.
Where'd you come up with that number?
Well, pretty good.
It's a kind of a Mark of a Beast type thing there. I could make it $16.66, but, you know, I'm saving the $3. It's on, okay. It's on Satan.
It's on Satan.
It's the Mark of the Beast, $3 off.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's the Mark of the Beast special, $3 off. So 13. In fact, if you noticed on freethoughtmedia.com, you can buy our shows individually for $1.66. That is the reasoning behind that as well. We could do $6.66, but I don't think we'd sell as many.
No. Yeah.
So, although we are worth it. We are worth $6.66 a show.
I think worth more than that.
Yeah. I meant 666, Roy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant 666 million.
No, we're not. I don't think we are.
If by chance you wanted to pay us that much, we wouldn't argue.
Yeah,
we
actually have a link where you could just send money, and that's the Donate Now button. In fact, they all say Donate Now right now until Rook, our graphics guys, stops dealing with personal life and starts getting back into the swing of making graphics and whatnot.
Well, what happened was, on my way to
one time at Bandcamp.
Yeah, at the time I was, and she said I like fish and
church.
Church.
That's our little code word here, folks, for when we like have nothing to say and it just gets off topic. Like, somebody says whatchamacallit, and everybody else says church. It really means nothing. So just ignore us when we do it. In fact, you could just turn down the volume on your computer there for a moment.
Everybody's already
back.
Done
we'll be back to reality. Let me pull up. We'll go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have Louis Rapucci with us to play Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying.
Kick ass.
Great game.
I am Luigi Cascioli, and I am a Swing Catholic Church in Italy. You are listening to Rational Response Squad.
You're listening to the best in free thought media. It's freethoughtmedia.com.
On the line with us now, we have Louis Rapucci. Lou is our show host for Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying game that we like to play here. You can visit his MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Louis_Rapucci. That's /LOUIS_REPUCCI. Befriend him because he is the shit.
Isn't he, though? I swear.
He is. That's a great game. I love this game.
I like when I win.
You've only won one so far. I've won one. Sapiens back zero.
We tied for win. You had the original win, but
we didn't tie for a win. We tied for loser.
No, we tied for win.
Win too.
In the first game, I won.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
But
you're
you kind of did. You had it right before the hints were given out.
Exactly. I had it right from jump. So yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Shut up.
Only one to do that so far.
So in case users haven't heard how this game works before, Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying is a game where Lewis will give us three people, and we have to determine if the person is crazy, ignorant, or lying. While it may appear that each person is all three, crazy, ignorant, and lying, the correct answer really lies in the fact that each person is only one. And what do we use to judge whether they're crazy, ignorant, or lying again, Lou?
The basic context, it's within the context of their faith. All of these people I'm going to be suggesting to you guys are theists, specifically they're Christians. And so within the context of their faith, there's a fundamental error somewhere there in every Christian's mind. They're either crazy, they understand the entire context of the Bible and the history of the book, and the history of their faith, and know all of its flaws yet still believe it. Or they're ignorant, which would be blind faith. They are passionate believers and followers of Christ, and know next to nothing about the actual religion, Christianity, its history, or its teachings. And many times have not even read the Bible cover to cover. Or they are lying. They have done both of those things. They know the full background of Christianity and profess to believe it absolutely, but they're lying. They don't really follow any of the precepts of the Christian religion. They're doing it to exploit either the media or the followers of the religion. The lying do a good job of exploiting the crazy and ignorant. They're usually the ones on top of the heap. That's your priests and your politicians. And
all right, so who are this week's contestants?
Dun, dun. All right, this week we've got a great batch. You guys are going to have fun with this one. Number one is going to be the Apostle Paul.
Oh, man.
That's right, founder of the Catholic Church, the Apostle Paul.
See, this
one
is
of the most prolific Christian writers ever. Number two.
That's easy. It's lying. Go ahead.
That's easy. All right. Number two is Benny Hinn.
Well, that's easy. It's lying.
One of my favorites. He's so great. He does all sorts of amazing revivals and tent shows and heals people. And I think he's been doing a fundraiser on TBN for the last 75,000 years. And they still don't have enough money. They still got to get more money. God needs your money.
Yep.
Send your money. Write the checks now. And the last one, your favorite and mine, Ray Comfort.
That's easy. That's lying.
Ray Comfort. Well, you know the British accent's fake, so that's lying right there. But you'd be surprised at some of these answers, guys. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what you think. The Apostle Paul, Benny Hinn, and Ray Comfort.
If you see a painting, there must have been a painter.
That's a good argument.
Cocaine. If notice, it has to have a creator.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to go with Paul being crazy just because I think he was delusional.
I've got my answers locked in.
Mm-hmm. Comfort is, Comfort's lying. Yeah, they're all three are lying, but okay. I guess I'm giving them too much credit for their intelligence. I mean, maybe they're not smart enough, but
okay, I've got Paul is crazy. Benny Hinn is ignorant. And Ray Comfort. Liar.
Hey, we match.
Again. All right. Great minds think alike.
You guys scare me.
mind meld here.
This was tough for me because I kind of know Paul intricately. And I don't want to put it, but I put it. Paul is crazy. Ray Comfort as ignorant. And Benny Hinn as lying.
Ignorant. I like that.
Ignorant.
Okay. He's ignorant. Interesting. Interesting.
Contraction. That's right. All y'all.
Ignorant. All y'all is ignorant, son.
Right.
Ignorant.
So, what do we got?
Well,
some hints.
Let me give you a couple of hints as to where I'm going with these three fine Christian specimens. Let's start with Paul. The Apostle Paul, who's, like I said, the founder of the Christian church, knew Jesus personally, supposedly. Knew all of his teachings.
Well, those are forgeries, but that's beyond
right,
the point. If you want to know about Paul, you can read up my 32-page commentary on Paul on www.rationalresponders.com.
That's right. Check out, click Rational Thoughts, and then click All Things Rook Hawkins, and you can download a 32-page document.
It's worth the read.
Excellent. I'm going to check that out, Rook. I didn't know you had that much of a background in Paulisms. He's a good guy. All right, here we go. The Apostle Paul.
Who, Paul or Rook?
if you believe the Bible. Knew Jesus, knew all his policies, yet was a complete misogynist, and invented a church around a religion that didn't necessarily necessitate one. There's Paul. All right. Benny Hinn. Let me give you a few choice Benny Hinn quotes. Here we go. Benny Hinn has said the following. Where does it say in the Bible that I have to drive a Honda? which would be specifically no man, no rich man can pass into the kingdom of heaven sooner than a camel passing through the eye of a needle. So, yes, it does. Another Bennigan quote. When it comes to income of the ministry, I have no problem talking about it or what happens to the money. Bennigan's also said, we follow every healing and say, go back to your doctor and make sure you're healed. Don't throw away your medication, which is good advice. Another Bennigan quote, poverty is from the devil and God wants all Christians to be prosperous. Hmm. Bennigan has said, no, I'm not wealthy. Bennigan has said, if I did not believe God healed, I'd quit tomorrow and go get a job. Bennigan has said, I'd be a fool if I was in this for the money. He's openly admitted to using hypnosis techniques to make people feel better at his crusades.
Wow. Making you want to change this, isn't it, Mike?
It's making me want to change this a little bit.
I think I'm going to change, but we'll keep going.
All right. I've got two more great ones. And this is straight out of his organization, the Orlando Christian Center. These were both in December 31st, 1989. Bennigan decided to get into the prophecy business. And he said, a spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh, my. Someone will try and kill him, and they will not succeed. But there will be some change in his physical health, and he will not stay in power. And Cuba will be visited by God. He also said that exact same broadcast. The Lord also tells me to tell you that in the mid-90s, about 94 to 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community in America. The audience at that point applauds. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire. And many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed.
I remember that. Those were the great homosexual fires of 2003.
That's right. We had
when all the hobos, when all the fags spontaneously combusted in the United States.
It took me a second to realize you were making a joke there.
What happened was pubic hair came back into fashion, and the Aquanet was floating around, and it just got ugly, you know. All right. Good old Ray Comfort. The only thing I have to say about Ray Comfort, besides everyone listening, go to wayofthemaster.com. Go there.
That
Read
site.
It and try and convince yourself that there is any possibility that it's not a complete hoax. That Kirk Cameron and this guy Ray Comfort, and even Chuck Norris, yes, Chuck Norris, actually believe all this crap. But Ray Comfort, besides the way of the Master, has released something called the Atheist Test. And it's a very Jack Chickian, specious little pamphlet that leads people to believe that atheists, believe there is no God, which is just bad definitions. I mean, Ray Comfort needs to get a fucking Webster's Dictionary and look a few things up. He decides to redefine faith as something along the lines of probability, and talks about we have faith that when we turn our TV on, the screen will light up, and the evolution of the Coca-Cola can, which I'm sure everyone has heard the bit on the Rational Response Squad, Rational Responders. And if you haven't and you're listening to this on a buddy's computer, subscribe. Listen to these shows. They're fucking hilarious.
If you see a Coke can, and you can tell that it had a creator.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna run this particular bit in the Ray Comfort show.
This is great. Listen to this.
But I'll give you a little comfort right here.
Go ahead, mate.
A little comfort. I don't believe in atheists. This isn't because I haven't met people who claim the title, but because there cannot be such a person. Let me explain why this is so by asking you two questions. First, do you know the combined weight of all the sand on all the beaches on the islands of Hawaii? I think I can safely assume you don't.
20 billion pounds.
And this brings us to the second question. Do you know how many hairs are on the back of an adult male Tibetan yak?
537.
I can ballpark it.
Do you know? Probably not. I think, therefore, it is reasonable for me to conclude that there are some things you don't know. Let's say you know 10% of all the knowledge in the universe. To know 100%, you would have to know everything. You don't know everything, do you, Lewis?
No, I don't.
There wouldn't be a rock in the universe that you would not intimately be familiar with, or a grain of sand that you would not be aware of. You would know everything that has happened in history, from that which is common knowledge to the minor details of the secret love life of Napoleon's great-grandmother's black cat's fleas. You would know every hair of every head and every thought of every mind. All history would be laid out before you, because you would be omniscient, all-knowing. Bearing in mind that one of the greatest scientists who ever lived, Thomas Edison, said, "We do not know 1/1,000,000% about anything." Let's say that you...
Edison also said religion is bunk.
Yeah.
Stop changing the topic, Mike. Change the topic. Let's say that you have an incredible 10% of all the knowledge in the universe. Would it therefore be possible in the 90% of the knowledge you have not yet come across that there might be ample evidence to provide the existence of God? If you are reasonable...
Is that an argument from ignorance?
No, it's a straw man. Please. If you are reasonable, you will be forced to admit that it is possible. Somewhere in the knowledge you have not yet come across, there could be ample evidence to provide that God does exist. Basically, you atheists claim to know that no God exists.
And this is Ray Comfort, and you're listening to the Rational Response Squad.
Have any of you guys ever claimed that?
Look, you are an atheist, and therefore that is what you claim. Okay, that is the definition of atheist. All right.
Thanks for defining me there, Ray.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
And let me also explain to you one thing.
I always ask you, Christian.
Yeah.
Let me also explain to you one thing. God does not believe in Christians either, because in order to be a Christian, one must believe in God. And in order to believe in God, you must have full knowledge of the universe.
Right.
And if you claim positive, that is an absolute belief that you claim
to
believe.
Christians just have another. It's a different 10%. You have the 10% that deals with things like physics, history, gravity, chemistry.
It's all faith.
Yes, and us Christians have the 10% that deal with things that are real.
Exactly. God, I got to convert. I'm going back to the church, guys.
I don't know if it's possible for you. You have the wrong 10%.
Yeah, that's right. And I've already denied the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
we all denied the Holy Spirit.
When you guys did it on air, and I felt literally 5 to 7 times lighter since. Although I was on the toilet listening to your show, that could have been it too.
That's blasphemy. That is blasphemy of the Rational Response Squad.
Wow.
Okay, you are now set for an eternal damnation in Snarf Widget Hell.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, they're kind of all right. There's a lot of hot chicks down there.
And the starfishes are pretty cute. You can pet them. They're friendly.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, back to the game.
Yeah, we've got a tough one right here.
The game.
Before we have Ray Comfort on later to defend himself.
Dun dun.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. Everybody has to keep listening. I'm taping this right now, and I'm going to distribute it on the streets of East L.A. to all the Catholics for you guys.
Awesome.
You're going to be huge.
Great.
All right. We have the Apostle Paul. We have Benny Hinn, and we have Ray Comfort.
Yeah, man.
I stayed.
I really wanted to change Benny Hinn, especially after I heard some of that stuff.
To lying, right?
Yeah. I wanted to do that.
But Ray Comfort. Oh.
But I think I'm going to stick with what I had.
Yeah, he kind of gave us the Ray Comfort. It's like he said, hoax.
Yeah.
You kind of got to listen to Lewis's embedded clues.
Yeah,
I think now that I'm on the same page as you all.
Okay. Really? Oh. All three of us have the same?
Let me confirm here. I've got the Apostle Paul as crazy, Benny Hinn as ignorant, and Mr. Comfort as lying.
I agree with that. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, we're on the same page.
All three of us are either brilliant or idiots.
Tell us we're all lost.
I have all three of you is wrong. You're all going to be doing a Hail Marys and
things. Oh, shit. Let me ask
here
a question.
Here it is. The Apostle Paul, having full knowledge of the wishes and wills of Jesus, creates the Catholic Church.
He's
ignorant of Jesus' wishes.
Crap.
Benny Hinn says that he's not wealthy and he's not in it for the money.
He's lying.
He's lying.
Yeah.
And Ray Comfort is plumb fucking crazy. That accent is fake. He doesn't.
This is all because you have the wrong 10%.
Level of tuition or even common sense, just totally out of left fucking field. Ray Comfort's nuts. So, good job, guys, and
we all suck.
You would have to admit that it's possible that in the 90% of the knowledge that you do not have, Ray Comfort is not crazy.
In some logically possible universe.
You could be right. And if you can suffice yourself and live your life and lead this crusade on the possibility that you're right, good for you. I can't delude myself that much. What's his email address? I've got some fucking questions for that guy.
Well, actually,
I am who am. At
yeah, I'm not gonna give it out. But
no, not Ray Comfort. God,
I am who am at Yahweh.com.
I am who I am. Yahweh.com.
Alpha Omega.
Well, man, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we all suck. We all suck. Hail Marys
we'll
to do.
Do our Hail Marys tonight.
I have to disagree with you on Paul, but that's just me. But
hey, well, and you know what? You know Paul better than I do. And the great thing about this game is you guys have to convict me because it's not based on rational answers. It's literally whatever I decide.
that's great.
This is fun for me.
That's fun for us, too.
No, you guys are great. You guys have outperformed almost everyone else that's ever played this game. So good job.
Yes.
Well, you know what? You've also outperformed the previous show hosts of this game.
Jackasses.
You must admit that in the 90% of knowledge that you don't have, I might not be a jackass.
That's true. That's very true.
That's a very far stretch, though, Brian. All right.
Well, guys, tell you what. I'm off to teach astronomy. Unfortunately, Ray Comfort's not going to be in my class tonight. But I got to bundle up and get ready to trek out into the snow. I'm going to go ahead and sign off and listen to the rest of the show.
All right, man.
All right,
thanks,
man.
For having me on again, guys. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for coming on, Lewis.
You're the best.
Have a good one, buddy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I love that game.
That was a pretty cool game.
But with that, unfortunately, Rook and I are going to have to leave you guys. And we're going to leave it in the very capable hands of Chaos Lord and our own Brian Sapien.
I hope you have the next 10% to deal with this threat. This threat you're about to face.
And with that, we will bring you Ray Comfort momentarily.
Good luck.
You're listening to the Rational Response Squad. Join us in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com.
On the phone with us now is Ray Comfort. Ray is a world-renowned Christian author, and we're pleasure to have you on the phone.
Thank you for having me on your program, Brian.
Ray, just so you're aware, I have another one of my friends with me, one of our rational responders. His name is David Koss, also goes by the name of Chaos Lord on the InfidelGuy.com message boards.
Great. Can David hear me?
Yes.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? I've heard some of your stuff, and it's pretty interesting.
Well, thank you.
I think the biggest question that we would have, obviously, as atheists is, you know, first off, do we exist?
I don't believe you exist. At the moment, just a little signal coming through my phone.
No, seriously, you know, I've read God Doesn't Believe in Atheists, and I've also read The Ultimate Deception. I have them sitting here on my desk, and I've always wondered do you have, like, a personal gripe towards atheists, or...
No, I love atheists. I think they're neat people. And when I meet an atheist, I get excited. I would rather have 1,000 atheists to talk to than one Jehovah's Witness at my door.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard an atheist present an argument to you that the definition of atheism that you used in the God Doesn't Believe in Atheists book is like a strong atheism as opposed to what most atheists consider themselves, which is almost what you deem agnostic?
Yeah, they're more agnostic than atheists as most people I meet. Most people who say I'm an atheist don't really know the definition of atheism. They don't realize any absolute knowledge.
No, but it's funny you say that because, I mean, I don't claim absolute knowledge. I've read the book, and I understand the argument
right.
is that I have to have absolute knowledge in order to claim there is no God. And I recognize that that argument holds some weight to a certain degree. But what I don't think is accurate is that the definition of atheism to me is that it's somebody who is without theism or disbelieves in a God. And the definition of disbelieve is to not have belief, to withhold belief.
Well, I think it's just a dictionary definition I got that from.
It's a, I mean,
but I, to me, just generally speaking, an atheist is someone who denies the existence of God.
Okay. Well, then
that makes sense.
Okay, but then that wouldn't that be quite a bit of an agnostics as well?
Yeah. Well, agnostics, they just don't know, apparently. They're open.
An atheist
normally says, there's no proof God exists. I don't believe in God. An agnostic would say, I just don't know. Show me some evidence and I might change my mind.
You know, for the last 7 years now, I've considered myself an agnostic atheist because, one, I don't know. So I would be agnostic. Agnosticism pertains to knowledge. And two, I don't believe. And atheism pertains to belief. Are you in concurrence that that is a valid position, that, that's okay?
Yeah, you can believe what you want. Our belief and our non-belief doesn't make any difference to truth. It's like me looking at the sun and saying, I believe the sun is made of ice. It comes out at night and it's square. Well, yeah, that's nice, but what I believe doesn't change realities. And it's the same with God's existence. What I believe about God or don't believe about him doesn't change realities.
I mean, the atheist test is fully based on the fact that all atheists claim there is no God, that they know for sure there is no God. But you admit that my brand of atheism is atheism. That,
well, you're what's called a lukewarm atheist.
Okay.
You know, you're not a hot atheist.
Okay.
And it sounds like you're open to reason. I mean, I know God exists. I don't believe in God. I believed in God before I was a Christian. I had a belief that there was obviously a creator, because you can't have a creation without a creator. You can't have things made without a maker. You can't have a painting without a painter. You can't have a building without a builder. Everything made has a maker. So it's obvious God exists. We can't create a grain of sand from nothing. We haven't got a clue how to make a grain of sand. We can't make a liver, a kidney, or anything that we're surrounded by. If someone's dying of heart disease, we'll just have science whip you up a new heart from nothing. We don't know how to do it. Haven't got a clue. So obviously, someone greater than man created all these things around us, and the Bible tells us the genius of Almighty God. But the reason we deny his existence is because if we admit that God exists, we're admitting we're ultimately responsible to him, and that's not a nice thought when you're guilty of doing what you know is wrong.
It does make sense, but I'm curious. Based on the atheist test, you don't have full knowledge, so therefore the Christian doesn't exist?
Let me just go through the test. If I say there's no God, that's an absolute statement, to say there is no God. And to make an absolute statement, for the statement to be true, I need absolute knowledge.
But if you say there is a God, it's the same thing, isn't it? It's the opposite.
No, I'll explain that to you because it makes sense. So if I say there's no gold in China, what do I need for that statement to be true? Well, I need to know what's in the soil in China. I need to know what's between every rock. I need to know what's in every Chinese person's mouth, because if there's a gold tooth or if there's a gold nugget, then my statement's not true. So to say there's no gold in China, I need absolute knowledge that there's no gold in China. Now, to say there is gold in China, I don't need absolute knowledge. I just need to see a Chinese man yawn and see gold in his tooth and say, ha-ha, there's gold in China because I've seen it. You don't need absolute knowledge to say there is gold in China, but you need absolute knowledge to say there isn't. And it's the same with God. You don't need to say, you don't need absolute knowledge to say that God does exist. All you got to do is know him. And then I came to know him April the 25th, 1972, 1:30 in the morning.
That knowledge that the man has gold in his teeth, you and I can both look at that and see the gold in the man's teeth. We would both agree.
True.
But I can't look at the knowledge of God. It's not universal. It's not the same. I don't see that.
That's true. Yeah, but there's a lot of things that you believe in that you can't see. I mean, you believe in the existence of love.
Okay. That's actually just an emotion that I feel, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, and what about the wind? You've never seen the wind.
I can also, you know, witness the effects of wind.
Right, so you can see the effects of God. Creation is the effects of God.
Uh-huh.
Trees, flowers, birds, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, apple trees, fruit trees. All these things are the genius of God's creative hand. And so you can see the fruits of God's existence through his creation. And not only that, you've got a conscience, Brian. You've got a conscience?
Yes, of course.
Where do you think that came from? Was it given to you by your parents?
Sure.
Or were you born with a conscience?
Yes, born with a conscience, came from me through my parents.
Right. So your parents didn't give you a conscience. If you didn't even have any parental upbringing, you just still have a conscience. Well, that conscience is given to you by God, and it always speaks to you morally. have you ever thought, why is it that my conscience only tells me no matter to do something morally wrong? And that's because man is unique from the animals. We're not beasts. The Bible says we're created in God's image. That means we have power to create. We have power to form ourselves into an orchestra and play music and invent. We believe in right and wrong. We have court systems. When a man commits murder, we know that it's wrong. If a man commits rape, we know it's wrong and he must be punished. Cows don't do that. Neither do horses, donkeys, dogs, or cats. Man is unique, and he's a moral being. He's made in the image of God with the power of reason. And so that's why, and we're morally responsible to God.
Hey, Brian, can I interject for a minute?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Dave?
Okay, I'd like to respond first to your argument from design. Right off the bat, you beg the question against us because you're assuming without proof that the world was in fact designed. You point to analogies which their existence has already been demonstrated, that it's been designed. It's already been proved. You cannot use an analogy of things that have already been proven to be designed to prove that the world was designed. It's just, that's not how it works. That's fallacious reasoning. Because the whole language is structured around creation. You say that the world was designed. Well, right then and there, you're begging the question because I don't think that the world was designed. Second, what basis do you have for saying that the world was designed?
Common sense? It's like looking at a house and saying it wasn't designed, or looking at a car and saying there's no proof the car was designed.
But we can look at car factories. We can look at, you know, carpenters build houses. We don't have other universes to look at to make that sort of comparison. We can't say, look, there's a universe.
You've got to look at the child in the face. You've got to look at the human eye. 137 million light-sensitive cells in your eye. If someone pokes your eye out, the best medical science can do you is give you a little marble to stick in the slot. And then they don't even create it. They reshape it from something that's already in creation.
I'm actually glad that you brought up the eye. Okay. When you say that the world was designed, for instance, you first have to know what a designed universe looks like from an undesigned universe. So far, we have never seen that, what an undesigned universe looks like as opposed to a designed one. And this is a criticism that is actually over 300 years old by a philosopher by the name of David Hume. If you ever get the chance, I encourage you to pick up his book, Dialogues Concerning Natural Religion. It's an outstanding book. And I say this because you keep using the argument from design. And it's an argument that has been torn to shreds over and over again, over 300 years ago. So it's kind of an advice to not make yourself look like a fool to come up with a different argument.
David?
Yeah.
How do you know that what happened 300 years ago, what you're telling me?
What?
You just said something happened 300 years ago, an argument's been made for 300 years or something?
Yeah.
How do you know 300 years ago?
That's when he published his book.
So you believe of a book 300 years old?
What?
You've got faith in a history book that's 300 years old? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't have faith. What I have is inductive reasoning. And that's actually going to be my second point when you say that the atheist has to have absolute knowledge. Incorrect. All he has to do is show that something is more probable to be one case over the next. We don't make judgments based on absolute certainty. We make judgments based on probability. And this is how science works.
I just got to say something there, David, if I may. When you say we, you've got to speak for yourself because I can make an absolute judgment. I have come to know God. I've known him for 33 years. My problem is this, in talking with you, I'm talking with a man who doesn't believe the sun exists when I walk in the existence of the sun.
How can you make a claim like that?
I enjoy its warmth and light every day.
How can you make a claim like that? He obviously believes the sun exists.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, how can you, before you even get to your point, how could you make a claim that he doesn't believe the sun exists?
It's like a man who doesn't believe. Imagine if you're born in a cloudy.
Oh, it's like a man. I see. Okay.
Yeah, like a man who's born in North Alaska where it's cloudy all year. He's never seen the sun, so he says the sun doesn't exist. But I live in Southern California, so I know the sun exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a phone call with this man who says, no, that's not reasoning to say the sun exists. Hang on, I know it. It's absolute, 100% scientific knowledge. I experience the sun every day. It gives me warmth and light. I die without its existence. And it's the same with God. If you're an atheist, there is a cloud called sin that cuts you off from knowing him. If you repent and trust in Christ, then you come to experience the light and warmth of his love. It's as simple as that.
But the thing is I've examined the arguments. I have examined literally every one that I've ever come across. And I believe that I've come across all of the arguments for the existence of God. And they all suffer from serious, crippling flaws. And so with that knowledge, I have no justification for believing that God exists. If there's no evidence, I don't believe things, and nobody should believe anything without sufficient evidence. If I said...
Do you totally believe what you're saying?
What?
You totally believe what you're telling me?
Of course I do. If I...
You just said no man should totally believe anything.
I said I don't believe anything without evidence.
Okay.
So, for instance, and this is a good principle. It's proven itself over and over again. Take for instance, if I said, here, Mr. Comfort, this drug will cure you. It will heal your body, and you'll just feel on top of the world. You would say, what evidence do you have for it? What good reason do I have to think that? Similarly, when in our belief structure, we structure it in such a way, or we should structure it in such a way where we try to cut out as many false beliefs as we can, while at the same time trying to capture as many true statements as we can. And we do this through evidence and rational thinking. And this is why I don't believe that God exists, because I've examined the evidence and I haven't seen any good reason to believe. And I'm
well, that's your choice. Do you have faith in anything?
I don't have faith. I have inductive reasoning, which is...
So when you get on a plane and you don't see the pilots, you inductively reason your life to those pilots. You get on the plane, you sit in the seat, and you sit there inductively reasoning your life into the hands of two men that you don't even know.
Inductive reasoning is the ability...
And so do you.
But is the ability to know that you can know that no plane has taken off without pilots, without a driver. You have a reasonable expectation that there are pilots in that plane. You don't have to have faith. Is belief in something that you have no evidence for, but you have evidence for the fact that planes haven't taken off without drivers.
Okay, that's my point. Now, this brings out something very important. What we're talking about is something called faith, but faith can be in different camps. There is a faith that has reason to it, and there's a faith that trusts. I'm not talking about belief that the pilots exist. I'm talking about trusting your life to those pilots.
Yeah.
And I believed in God before I was a Christian. Salvation comes through trusting God for your eternal salvation. So there's a huge difference. And besides, can I just try and experiment with you guys?
Sure.
But hey, first, can I respond to that pilot thing? See, here's the thing. I know that in order for any pilot to be able to get behind the wheel, they have to go through extensive training. They have to get licensed. It's not easy. They have to know what they are doing. They have to be very educated in that field. So I'm not so much, so yeah, am I trusting them? Sure. But just think about it. You would do the same thing, not based on faith, but based on reasoning. If you had a guy who had never taken an aviation course, and you had another person who was an experienced pilot, and you had to choose which person was going to fly your plane, I think it goes without saying which one you would pick. And it's not because of faith. It's because of, you know, that pilots don't just become pilots overnight. They have to go through extensive training. And that's what's called inductive reasoning. It's not 100%. It's not guaranteed. That pilot could be a poor pilot.
He could be drunk.
Yeah, the course, irony, yeah. Of course, is I don't think I've ever gotten in a plane and fully felt safe.
Yeah, that's true. And we don't see the credentials of pilots. We just get in, and without a second thought, we trust ourselves to them. And that's the faith that you need to have in Christ. And that's what, where eternal life comes through, trusting him with your salvation. But as I said, if I may, Dave and Brian.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to swing this conversation from talking to your intellect and talk to your conscience for a couple of minutes just to see what happens.
Okay.
You want to try that?
Feel free. Floor is yours.
The reason for this is the Bible teaches that your intellect is the place of your argument, and that's there's an enmity between us and God and the human intellect. We've all got it, and I want to move away from the intellect and just talk to your conscience. So let's just do that. Is that all right?
Sure.
Sure. I can only imagine why you'd want to move away from intellect.
Well, this isn't a valid form of reasoning. I mean, I just want to make that clear that this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But it has...
Not a valid, yeah. It's not...
It's good. Not valid. It's stupid, but let's just bear with me for a minute, okay?
Yes, let's do it.
That's fine.
It's sure. Deliberate, and I'm doing it for a reason. We're setting aside your intellect because it's argumentative, and I want to reason with you in a different area. I'd just like to talk to Brian, just for the sake of clarity, because it's very hard for me to hear David.
Sure.
Brian, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Of course.
Can I ask you some questions to see if that's true?
Sure.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
So what does that make you if you tell a lie? What,
a
what
liar.
Do you call it? Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
So what does that make you?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Oh, yeah.
Even though you don't believe in him? Well, that's called blasphemy, where you take God's name, and instead of using a filth word to express disgust, you take his name and use it to express disgust.
Right.
And the last question on this little test is, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery already with her in your heart.
Right.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Because there's red blood in your veins. So, Brian, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart, and you've got to face God on Judgment Day, whether you believe in him or not. So here's a huge if.
Mm-hmm.
If God judged you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment,
right.
If he did,
uh-huh.
Do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, I'd be guilty, but I'm actually guilty because I've committed the only unforgivable sin. So, you know, I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit.
And the second question is, would you therefore go to heaven or hell based on that standard?
Hell.
Now, does that concern you at all? That there's
no
chance?
None.
None at all. Would you bet your life on it?
Yes, I have.
Which you are. I'm only trying to point out something very, very important, that you're gambling your eternal salvation. And there's nothing more precious to you than your life. You wouldn't give up an eye for $1 million.
The irony,
of
course, is...
Would you sell an eye for $1 million?
Maybe.
What about both for $100 million?
Oh, yeah, probably.
So what are you going to do with your $100 million? Sit at home and count it in the dark? Because you're not going to see anything.
I'd pay my son to tell me what's going on around me.
Oh, seriously, would you give up your eyes for amount of money?
$100 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If it meant the generations of my family below me would benefit, of course.
What about $20 million?
Yeah, probably.
10?
That's a lot of money. See, Ray, you probably have $20 million in the bank. So
no, I actually don't. I ride a boy's bike to work each day. Did you know that?
I heard you talk about how you used to run to work. I've heard the Ron Barrier.
Oh, I hate running. I've taken up riding this little boy's bike for exercise.
Uh huh.
But seriously, your life is so precious to you, Brian. And if you found you had cancer, lymph node cancer, and some doctor says, Brian, you got 3 weeks to live, you'd begin crying and say, oh, I don't want to die. I love life. I don't want to, you know, I've got a will to live. I enjoy it. It's the most important thing I've got is my life. So don't gamble your eternal salvation. Just open your heart, soften your heart. Everyone's got the same choice. You've got a conscience. I've got a conscience. We've got the knowledge of God's existence through creation.
Let me just move
away from the intellect, so we can go back to the intellect now if you want.
No. Actually, I want to go back to conscience. I want you to keep going with them. Those are fun. But your whole argument is based on the fact that I'm basically gambling with my eternal existence.
Absolutely. And I care about you even though you don't realize that.
Oh, well, no. I think you do. And I care about you even if you don't realize that. But I think that where your argument may fail, or not where it might fail, but where you are in the same boat as me, is that you also are gambling your eternal existence because you may have picked the wrong God.
What am I going to lose?
Well, the another god that has a condition that you must believe in it in order to get into its eternal blissful existence.
Well, Christianity doesn't say you have to believe in God. You can. Hitler believed in God. I mean, so many people. I believed in God before I was a Christian. God
doesn't
want
about Christianity.
Your belief in his existence.
I'm talking about
he
some
wants
other
your
religion.
Obedience.
I'm talking about some other religion that says that you have to believe in their God and it wants your obedience. And if you don't give it to it, you don't go to its eternal blissful existence.
Why don't you ask me the difference between Christianity and all those other religions?
Okay, sure. What is the difference between Christianity and all those other religions?
Well, all those other religions are what's called self-righteousness. They all think they can earn heaven by doing something, whether it's facing Mecca or fasting or lying on beds of nails or sitting on hard pews. But the Bible teaches there's nothing you can do to save yourself, that God provided a way for you to be forgiven through Christ dying on the cross, and that God can save you through his mercy. Everything else is trying to bribe God, who's the judge of the universe, with your good works, your doing good or praying or fasting or whatever. God says you cannot earn it because it's trying to bribe him. The only thing that can forgive your sins is the shed blood of Christ who died for you and rose again on the third day. So there's a huge difference in that Christianity is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift when all the other religions think you can merit it by doing something.
Hey, Ray, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Yes, yes, David.
Why is it bad that some religions say that you can earn your way? Isn't that how we do things on this earth? We don't just ask somebody for... Hang on a second. I'm getting an echo on the phone. Hang on.
I don't think I heard a word, except I think I might have said, why is it bad? You might have said, why is it bad that other religions think they can earn their way to heaven? Is that it?
Let me see if the echo is gone now. Yes, yes.
Oh, you heard it too, did you, Brian?
The echo?
I
actually heard a little bit of echo, but I didn't hear fully what he said. We are having some echoing problems, but that's why he was having a problem saying what he was saying, because he was hearing himself talk to himself. So
yeah. Okay, so can you hear me now, Ray?
I think that's better, David. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to just preface this by just saying that while I may be hard on you, I don't hate you. I don't think that you're a bad person. So I just want to just...
David, you're not hard on me at all. This is a very soft interview, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Basically, what I was going to say is, why is it bad that other religions say that you can earn your way to heaven? Shouldn't that be... Isn't that how it should be? That works. That how well you lived should determine whether you go to heaven or hell. And I'm going to use an example. According to Christianity, because I used to be Christian, so I can speak on this. According to Christianity, only those who have accepted Christ can go to heaven. And it doesn't really matter what your works are. As long as you've accepted him, you could be the most rotten person and still go to heaven. So, for instance, Gandhi, he was not a Christian. He was a Hindu. Yet he was a very good man. Not as good as everybody thinks, but regardless, he was a very good man. So on this view, Gandhi will be burning in hell. But hypothetically speaking, if Adolf Hitler or Stalin, on their deathbed, had given their life to Christ, they would be in heaven. Now, can you sit here and tell me that that's justice? That, or furthermore, that somebody like Hitler, let's say that he did go to hell, that he will be getting the same punishment for killing, you know, millions and millions of people, that he will be getting the same exact punishment as someone like me who...
Or Gandhi.
Yeah, or Gandhi, who simply does not believe. We're not doing anything bad. We're not out murdering. We're not out stealing. In fact, we're out helping people. I bet that if you asked either me or Sapient, we would tell you that we would give you the shirt off our backs. We're not bad people, but yet on this view, we're going to go to hell with Hitler. Now, now, honestly, is that justice?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
Gandhi would have disagreed with what you've just said, because Gandhi said this. He said, after years of being a Hindu, I'm still separated from the God that I love by my own wretchedness. So Gandhi did not see himself as a good person. Second thing is, God's justice will be according to righteousness. Hitler will not receive the same punishment as a little old lady or Gandhi or whatever. God will give everyone their just desert, exactly what they deserve. If they've committed adultery or raped a woman or committed murder, they'll get exactly what's coming to them. So
I thought God
doesn't, very clear on that.
I thought the Bible was clear.
Thing, it doesn't. Second thing, if I may mention too, is that you said you used to be a Christian,
yes.
David? So yes. Did you know the Lord?
Well, obviously that's kind of a loaded question because obviously I didn't really know him because he doesn't exist on my belief. So,
okay, well, could I just stop it there? Because, so you didn't know the Lord?
I didn't know the Lord, I believe.
Okay, so then you weren't a Christian. You were just a false convert because the Bible says this is eternal life, that they might know you. And so it's important to realize there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in that boat. They go to church, they accept Christ, but they've never repented. They've never been converted. They just sit in the pews and go through motions until they fall away. They're called false converts. So you didn't know the Lord?
You're not going to demean my belief. I honestly believed that there was... I wanted to be a theologian.
You had yourself fooled all that time. So you didn't know the Lord.
How many Christians do you think are not Christians, Ray? Based on this
argument. God only knows, but the Bible says there are goats among the sheep, foolish virgins among the wise.
What do you think it is? About half of them, maybe?
Oh, no, much more than that. The Bible says there'll only be few that are saved, and you can see it through if you look
only
at statistics.
Only a few that are saved, right? It says something about 100,000 people total, doesn't it?
No. Probably millions down through the ages, but looking at the billions in the earth. But you just need to look, Brian, you need to study statistics of the Baptists. The Baptists. Statistics are just as they've got more divorce in the Baptist religion than in the world. So obviously something's wrong. There's adultery and theft and rape amongst professing Christians. There's a lot of hypocrisy, which proves there's false converts in the church.
And so, what, most Baptists aren't getting to heaven?
No, not saying that. I love Baptists, but the Baptist statistics show that the divorce rate is just as high or even higher among Baptists than theft. They have theft at Christian universities.
No, I don't
understand. There's a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of false converts out there, so don't throw out the baby with the bathwater because there's a lot of dirty bathwater.
But what's the point of making this argument when you claim that all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ and be obedient?
I've never said you have to accept Jesus Christ. That's a fallacy.
Okay, well, how do you get in heaven?
You've got to repent and trust Christ.
Okay, but can you still break the Ten Commandments?
You don't do it deliberately. If you go and lie and steal and rape and murder and commit adultery, you're a hypocrite. But if you're a genuine Christian, you'll speak the truth. But, you know, being a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. Being a Christian means that you still sin, but it's against your will. If I wake up in the morning and say, yeah, today I'm going to surf the internet and look at the pornography on there, then I'm a hypocrite. I'm not genuine. But a Christian still, you're fallen in sin, but you don't die.
Those hypocrites won't get into heaven?
What's that?
Those hypocritical Christians won't get into heaven?
Well, that's an oxymoron. A hypocrite is not a Christian. A hypocrite's a pretender. So they're not hypocritical Christians.
Okay,
they're hypocrites.
So if they,
they're not Christians.
If a Christian looks at porn, he's not a Christian.
Well, he needs to check and see if he's a hypocrite or genuine. I mean, God know the difference. If a Christian steals, lies, commits adultery, lusts, hates, does anything like that, then he needs to check his heart and say, boy, am I genuine? Am I false? Because it won't be long until he falls away if he's false. If you look at David's testimony, that's probably what happened to him.
See, but here's the thing, and this is something to point out, is that I did repent. I did everything that you said. I honestly believe. I couldn't have been a better Christian, honestly. I was somebody who wanted to be, as I said, a theologian.
But you didn't know the Lord, though, did you?
Well, no,
that's what a Christian is. You see, a lot of Muslims repent, and anyone can repent because you feel sorry for doing something wrong. You feel guilty, you say, I won't do it again, which is what repentance is. But conversion is when you come to know the Lord. So you turn from sin and trust Christ. And maybe you turn from sin, maybe you were genuine in your belief, but you didn't know the Lord, so it wasn't a genuine conversion. Mark chapter 4, it tells you all about that in Scripture.
There's a gentleman online who we're constantly debating. He's a Christian, and he's constantly calling people morons and idiots.
That's horrible. I'd never do that. That's very, very bad.
Yeah. So is he a hypocritical Christian? Or is he not? Is he a hypocrite and not a Christian?
Do you think he's loving? Do you think he's respectful?
No. It's clear to anybody who deals with this gentleman that he's not loving or obviously he's probably loving to somebody, maybe himself first, but, not to others, no.
Well, I apologize on behalf of him. If he calls himself a Christian, well, he shouldn't talk like that.
You don't need to, but I'm just curious if, in your mind, if that's somebody who is, you know, that's enough hypocrisy that he's not even a Christian. In fact,
well, God knows the difference, and that's not a good sign.
Uh-huh.
And if I talked to that guy, I'd say, hey, you need to check this out. You don't talk to people like that, you know?
Huh.
And the world's full of them, Brian. You don't look far. But, you know, you can start the Christian Nazi Party. You realize that? You can become a reverend for $3 through the National Enquirer. You know, so anyone can call themselves Christian. You've got Christians fighting wars over the Middle East. They call themselves Christians, but there's nothing Christian about it.
But don't you think
that doesn't matter? That doesn't matter. They still call themselves Christians. You can't discriminate. You can't just say, I don't like this given behavior that these people are exhibiting, and therefore they're not Christian. That's what's called the no true Scotsman fallacy.
Yeah, well, I say I don't like. I can't judge people. God knows their heart. No, they know their heart. But how do you feel when a man says, "I'm an atheist"? They go around raping people, and they're part of your society. You'd want to distance yourself from them.
But I wouldn't
you?
Say that they weren't an atheist. I would say that
they're a bad atheist.
There's something wrong. Yeah,
they're a bad example, person. And there's something wrong. Yeah. Well, we know that a Christian is supposed to be someone that has love in their heart and has a certain morality. And when they don't have the morality and they don't have love, then it's a sign that something's wrong.
But when you claim the word hypocrite as a pretender, this person isn't even a true Christian. I mean, I think that in a way is almost offensive to, I'm sure it is offensive to a Christian who says, what are you talking about? Like, just because I, you know, lied to my wife about where I was on Friday night, I'm no longer a Christian. Everything else I do in my life is based around God, you know, yada, yada, yada. But if I had told my wife that I was at the bar with my friend, she would have yelled at me for an hour or so. I just told her that I was at work late, you know. And this guy is, you know, overall a pretty good person, but now you would say to him that he's a hypocrite, that he's a pretending Christian. Wouldn't that be offensive to him?
You know, you need to examine your own heart and say, am I being genuine here or am I being a hypocrite? So I'd lie to the Nazis if my wife was hiding upstairs. I'm not stupid. You know, so there is a point in life where you use discretion. And so, yeah, I know what you're saying. A guy not, may not be a he may be genuine, and he may be pushed into a corner where he has to tell something that's not true.
Ray, hold on the line one moment. We have to take a brief commercial break. We will be right back.
Listen to Live with the Infidel Guy, the biggest, most successful atheist community on the internet or anywhere. Visit InfidelGuy.com and listen to the regular radio broadcast every Friday night at 8 Eastern. It's radio that rocks your rational mind. Your host, Reginald Finley, has interviewed Drs. Massimo Pagliucci, Jason Gustry, Michio Kaku, and many more, plus actors and authors and even comedians to add to your perspective and insight. Become a Gold member. Enjoy over 600 hours of quality free thought programming in the archives. And InfidelGuy.com is more than a powerful radio show. It's a whole community. Come and share experiences with others. Discuss morals, ethics, and more for better understanding of yourself and the world around you. InfidelGuy.com gives you everything you need so you can skillfully and effectively deal with the Christians in your life with knowledge and good humor. Click on InfidelGuy.com right now, and you'll see why it's radio that rocks your rational mind.
Join us right now in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com. If you are listening to our live stream, join us in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com.
The Rational Response Squad has taught me that I don't have to say under God in school when I pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Rational Response Squad can be found at www.rationalresponders.com. Check them out today.
And we're back on the phone with Ray Comfort. We have some audience-submitted questions.
Fair enough.
A gentleman by the name of Todanks, and I know we kind of covered this already, but I'll just read his question. And
he's an excellent pollster.
Yeah,
excellent.
His question is basically like four questions in a row. And it kind of goes to your point that, you know, atheism isn't, that atheists don't exist. And his question is that if atheism is not real, and people are born with God beliefs, then why do Christians need to inculcate their religious beliefs into their children? Why do you need to convert others to theism if atheism is impossible? Are infants born theists? Is there any evidence that a child raised without theism will still have theistic beliefs? So I know that's
all you need
question.
To do is look at tribes throughout the world, primitive tribes in the Amazon or in Africa. You won't find an atheistic tribe anywhere. Everyone has an innate knowledge of God's existence, and the Bible makes it clear, just as the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So as I said, I don't believe in atheism. If you leave a child to himself and don't give him any instruction about God, he'll know that God exists in his heart. He'll have an inner knowledge.
Those tribes, do they have any chance to get into heaven?
Oh, no, not if they die as murderers and rapists and cannibals and thieves and liars. God will give them justice. That's why missionaries risk their lives to go and tell them how they can have their sins forgiven. They won't go to hell because they're innocent. They'll go to hell for all sorts of sins.
So
just the location of where you live doesn't make you innocent.
What if a missionary doesn't get to them in time and they never had the chance to know the word of Jesus?
Well, God will give them justice. And it's a fearful thing to fall in his hands. I mean, you rape a woman, God's going to punish you. You kill someone and eat them, God's going to punish you.
Well, let's go a little easier on them and let's not call them rapists or murderers. Let's just call them people who lived, you know, a fairly decent life and didn't have the chance to know the word of Christ. Are they?
You mean that like you?
People that we know, people, you know, in these tribes that we're talking about in the Amazon, a tribe in the
They're
Amazon.
Just like you. Normal person.
But they, well, I wouldn't consider myself normal. I'm a godless heathen.
Well, no, you're normal. you were normal with it when you come up against the commandments. You'd lied, stolen, blasphemed.
Oh, I see.
You know, look who's lost,
sure.
And you'll find that amongst those primitive tribes.
Except,
they're not good
except
people.
Except these people believe in a god, though, is what I'm saying.
They believe in idols and all sorts of weird things. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
You had said that they were mostly theists. So, I mean, that was your point, that they came to know God. So that's what I'm saying. They've come to know God, but they didn't come to know how they needed to be saved through Jesus.
Well, they don't know God. They know about him. They've got this inner light that God's given to them. So they worship an idol, some totem pole or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have a multitude of sins. They lie and steal, commit adultery, fornicate, hate.
But
God
throw that out.
If they die in their sins, they'll stand before God like anyone else.
Let's
just
pick the one
in America
good apple.
Doesn't mean to say you're better off than someone who lives in Africa. You're gonna die if you die in your sins. God gives you justice.
No, I'm assuming that there's a good apple there. Is what I'm saying. That the good
well, there's
apple.
No good apples actually. Actually, we make the straw man and say there's a really good guy in Africa. So you find him for me and let me ask him. I say, Abdul,
well,
have you lied? And
but you're
say,
doing
yeah.
the same thing and saying that they're all cannibalistic murderers. So.
No, I'm not saying that, but I guarantee they've lied and stolen. Guarantee they look with lust. Guarantee they commit adultery and fornicate. They're no different than anyone else.
Okay.
Color of your skin doesn't change the heart.
Okay, but they believe the difference between them and you, as you've claimed that you're that's normal. That these are all qualities of things that you've done. Then what the difference between them and you is that they still believe in a God, but they know Jesus. They don't. And so what I'm saying is, or what you're saying is, that they can't inherit the kingdom of God. Is that correct? That they can't go to heaven?
Of course. If they die in their sins, God gives them justice. The only mercy
justice,
you can find—
Just for clarification, justice means hell, right?
Yeah, that's what we deserve.
Okay.
Well, you go through those commandments, and it's what you said. If you're judged by those 10 commandments, you'd end up in hell.
So it's
the same with them, but God offers you mercy through the cross. And the Bible says, hell they hear without a preacher. So Christian missionaries like David Livingstone and other people have given their lives to take the gospel to these people.
Is God all loving?
Tell them that, well, say, no, of course not.
Okay. Well,
it's a fallacy.
That's interesting.
God is not all loving.
Okay.
He's justice and truth. It's like standing before a judge and committing a serious crime and saying, judge, you're all loving? Of course he's not. He's a good judge and he believes in justice and he'll make sure you're punished if you've done wrong if he's a good judge. So to say God is all loving is to create an idol out of God, have a false image of him.
How about the passage that actually says that?
There's no passage that says that.
Yeah, there's actually a passage that says God is love.
It says God is love, but it doesn't say God is all loving. So God is justice, he's righteousness, he's love and mercy. He's like you. You're the same. You're not all loving.
How can it be mercy and justice?
If I said you're all love, you'd say, hang on, I believe in right and wrong. You know, so to say even a human being is just all loving with no sense of right and justice and truth is a skewed understanding of what human nature is about.
How could he be mercy and justice at the same time? If it was merciful.
Well, you can see that on the cross. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, that was God's justice, but he was extending his mercy towards you, and that Christ was paying your fine in his life's blood. And that's where it says righteousness and peace kissed each other, and that happened at the cross when Jesus died for your sins.
Quick question for you. You would say that Jesus and God are the same person, correct?
Yes.
Pick up your volume again, Dave. You're like you're non-existent, basically.
Huh?
You're like God, man. You're non-existent over there.
Okay, so basically, this is the same person. So in essence, since God and Jesus are the same person, you can call them by the same name. So basically, what God did was God sent himself to die on the cross to change a rule that he created. When he could have he basically went through a lot of work when he didn't have to. He could have just changed the rule. He's all powerful, but yet he chose to send himself down, die on the cross, all to change a rule he created. Now, what sense does that make, honestly?
Well, if that's your understanding, I don't understand why where you are. Jesus didn't come to change the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to pay the fine that you could not pay yourself. That was why he died on the cross. God created a body and filled that body as a hand fills a glove. The Bible says of Jesus, he was the express image of the invisible God. God being spirit, being life itself, can't die. He had to have a body to suffer and die. So he made himself a body in Christ, filled that body, and then gave that perfect sacrifice so that you could be free on the day of judgment.
I'm glad you admit that that Jesus came to fulfill and not to change, because so many people claim that the Old Testament is, you know, like Old Testament. We don't acknowledge that anymore. But why don't we do things like stone our children to death, you know, or stone gays to death, as it tells us to do in like Leviticus and Deuteronomy?
Yeah, well, the Bible says that if man sheds blood, his blood should be shed. But there's a qualification there. We should never put anyone to death under circumstantial evidence. It has to be out of the mouth of witnesses that have seen a man commit a crime. We had 200,000 murders in one 10-year period in the U.S. Between 1990 and the year 2000, 200,000 people were murdered. And it's because the law has lost its punch. We give someone a rap over the knuckles for killing someone. The average man gets 6 years in prison for taking the life of another person. So the Bible makes it clear that if you take someone's life, you should give your life. But we don't stone people to death because, they still do. Watch your television. Someone got stoned to death the other night. On TV, they still stone over in the Middle East. But we don't do that here. We have other means of putting people to death. Why?
Meaning Deuteronomy 21:18, I'm reading right now. If someone has a son who is stubborn, who turns against his father and mother and doesn't obey them or listen when they correct him, his parents must take him to the older leaders at the city gate. They will say to the leaders, "Our son is stubborn and turns against us. He will not obey us. He eats too much. He's always drunk." Then all the men in his town must throw stones at him until he dies. Get rid of the evil among you, because then all the people of Israel will hear about this and be afraid. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that, because I guarantee there was no rebellion among teenagers in Israel because of that law. I guarantee every kid that had that law read to him feared his parents and feared God and feared authorities enough to obey them. There's no record of that happening to any kid in the Bible. But because that law was on the books, I guarantee that a lot of kids didn't die in their youth like they are now. We've got massive kids into drugs and alcohol, killing each other on the streets, lost respect for parents, because they know the law has no punch.
So if Jesus
but
came to...
the law
to,
had punch in the Old Testament. And that's the law you're going to be judged with. It hasn't changed.
If Jesus came to, you know, enforce those laws, why aren't they enforced today?
Because it's people like you that won't have his rulership. You say, "I don't want God telling me what to do," so you carry on doing what you're doing.
So if you yield your
life to Christ, then you'll become lawful. You'll stop lying and stealing and lusting and desiring things that belong to other people if you become a Christian.
If you were dictator of this country, and forgive the term dictator, but I'm giving you dictatorship and not just presidency. If you were dictator of this country, would children who disobeyed, like it says there in Deuteronomy 21:18, would they be stoned to death?
Of course not. You know what I'd do? I'd put them up against a wall and preach to them.
So, but you just said that it was because of people like me, but then apparently also because of people like you.
No, people like you who don't want God to rule over their lives. I would say to those kids, get right with God, let him change your heart, let him take away your wickedness in your heart, And then when God, loves in you, you don't lie or steal. You won't get drunk and drink and drive. You won't take drugs and drive and kill people on the roads. If this nation became Christians and there was no hypocrites in it, we wouldn't even need the police, Brian.
Well,
you know that? We wouldn't even need police.
Yeah, well, if there were no hypocrites. Yeah, that's true. If there were no hypocrites, sure.
Yeah.
Of course, one could make an argument.
There's so many hypocrites, and it's an offense to people like you, and I can understand why you feel like you do with so many hypocrites around. And I'm embarrassed by television. Christian television makes me feel sick. It's so bad. People asking for money all the time. So I understand why you feel like you do.
One could make an argument, though, that somebody who doesn't stone their son to death is a hypocrite.
Why?
Because it tells you to do so in the Bible.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I just read the passage.
Yeah, well, there's three types of law in Scripture. Do you understand the differences?
Go ahead.
There's civil, moral, and ceremonial.
Okay.
The civil law was for Israel. The ceremonial law was for Israel. There's a lot of ceremonial laws in there, you know, like put blood on the altar and all this sort of stuff. It makes no sense to us. Or don't mix wool with cotton because it'll make you sweat. Stuff like that. They don't have any hold over us. But the moral law is the one that we're going to be judged by, and that's the one we should listen to. You shall not steal. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. That's the law that God's written on your heart, not the other one.
So, tell me, how did you come to this criteria? Like, how did you separate?
It's well known. Any biblical scholar will tell you that. David will probably be able to tell you that because he studied theology. There's ceremonial, moral, and civil law in the Old Testament.
No, but how did you come? I mean, I guess I'm saying what separates ceremonial from moral. If I look in the Bible, I can't tell right away. I'm just trying to understand. How do you?
Just read Romans chapter 2. It gives the moral law very clearly in Romans chapter 2. Paul uses the moral law. You can see it. It's the Ten Commandments. That's the moral law. It's the one that's written on your heart.
Well, don't want to see what that looks like.
No, on your very soul, you know, your mind. Sorry to use silly terms like that.
We're pretty literal around here. I'm curious. A moment ago you said something about that there's no evidence that any child got stoned, and I guess you would look that up through, you know, some sort of historical documents or something. And
No, the scriptures. In scripture, there's no evidence that anyone was stoned to death in scripture. That's what I study, the Bible.
I'm curious what your take is on the fact that nobody wrote about Jesus Christ until a good 40 years after he died.
How do you know that?
Well, it's what all historians would agree on.
And you believe that?
Well, do you?
Yeah, do you believe the historians?
In this case, I do. Can you present me with proof or reason to believe otherwise?
No, I just wanted to find out what you believe and if you had faith in history books, which you seem to. I know.
Faith would be if I believed otherwise.
Yeah. Right. So you believe
faith would believe what be what I believe without evidence. I have evidence.
What's the evidence?
The evidence is that everybody backs it. That all historians agree that these stories have been handed down.
How do you know that? All historians agree. That's an absolute statement.
You're right. You're right. That is an absolute statement. And all historians don't agree. Any respectable historian so far would state the same thing. And if you can present me with reason to believe otherwise, I'll gladly, look at the information.
Well, the point is, I agree with you.
So you have faith as well.
I believe it's about 40 years after, apparently, if I believe the historical records and respectable historians do say that. Yeah.
I always find it funny that one of the worst charges that Christians can level at me is that I'm exactly like them. That I have faith like you do, as if that's some sort of bad thing, yet you base your whole life on it.
Well, no, my faith isn't a belief. It's trusting in the person of Jesus Christ. I know the Lord. That's something that
Yeah,
that
I could
David
say
didn't.
The same thing about the invisible pink unicorn, and you'd laugh at me.
Of course I would. So
it's still faith. You know, just because you think you know the Lord doesn't make your belief any more valid.
So you believe?
No, you do.
Well, I do know the Lord, and I can't deny him. And if you were going to kill me and say deny the Lord, I wouldn't deny him. I'd rather die than deny the Lord. So that's how strongly I believe it. You can find that's happened to martyrs, thrown to lions down through the years. people gave their lives rather than deny that they knew the Lord, because you can't deny the reality of knowing Christ. And I've known for 33 years. Well, it's 4:07 here in California. I'm supposed to be home cooking dinner for my wife.
Yeah, I think we have just about an hour now, and I really appreciate you coming on, Ray.
I like you guys, and I thank you very much for talking with me and listening.
Now, before you go,
yeah,
one of my partners, my scientist partner, he really wanted me to. It's a shame that we didn't have a chance to address this. The whole we didn't really have. It's your most famous argument, of course, is the whole Coca-Cola can, and I guess we talked about it a little bit in the beginning. But,
yeah, that's all tongue in cheek.
You know, I'm glad you said that. You know, I've always wondered that. You know, if it's just supposed to be funny, or you know, but you do think that it makes your point. So, I mean, it is supposed to be a valid argument.
It's a funny, tongue-in-cheek, valid argument. Well, but then, I wouldn't go to the bank with it.
Then accept my friend's tongue-in-cheek, valid argument based on your own valid argument.
What, that his finger's made to pick his nose?
No, worse than that. If bananas,
can you say it then?
If bananas are obviously, I could give you some of the ones that I should say. bananas are obviously designed to fit the hand, just like the GP120 protein of the HIV virus is obviously designed to fit perfectly with the CD4 protein of a child's T cells. Praise
yeah, that's a great
Jesus!
Point.
So.
Somehow it loses its tongue in cheek.
Of course, and I'm sure you've heard it. A bunch of people claim that zucchinis are perfectly designed to fit up the anal cavity. So
I thought that would come.
But I'm sure you've heard that. And of course, I mean, does that mean that that those things were intelligently designed? Is that what you would be saying?
Are we still on? Are you still recording this?
Well, the whole thing's, I mean, my address is recorded. I'm obviously going to edit that out. So.
Oh, good. Thank you. Hey, I got to go, but thank you guys for talking with me and for having me on your program.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
All right, folks. Well, that was Ray Comfort. Quite a fun interview that was. I was just amazed that I had him on the phone and that I was hearing some of the things that, you know, I heard in the Way of the Master interview. Did you have fun, Dave?
Yes. It was very entertaining.
You know, I was appreciative that you kind of went at him a little harder than I did. I really wanted to just make sure that we got an hour out of him, and I didn't want to come at him too hard. At one point, you said something about making him look foolish or something. I remember what it was, about 20 minutes in, and I thought...
Basically what I wanted to do is, in a way, I was looking out for him, because he keeps using the argument from design over and over again, and it really does make him look foolish. The argument is absolutely, you know, laughable. And so I was just telling him, I was just trying to tell him, you look like a fool when you use an argument that was definitively proven to be fallacious 300 years ago. I go, you're still using the same argument, and it's laughable. So please, you know, get a new song and dance. And that's basically what I was trying to do.
Well, and like I said, I'm glad that you really... You know, we're at them a little harder for the audience listening. We have a wide varying audience. Some of you, you know, think that we should take it easy on Christians. Some of you think that we should really go at them hard. I obviously believe that Ray Comfort has been deceptive with his arguments, and I think that he knows better. You know, I think that the, you know, where you explain to him where his argument's false, I think he knows better, but you know, hey, well, he's allowed to lie, right? Because he'll be forgiven. Of course, wait, that would make him a hypocrite, and then that wouldn't make him a true Christian.
It's for the glory of God, and that's what you have to ultimately remember, is that, and I'm not kidding. I mean, you'll find a lot of apologists and big-name Christian philosophers who know that their arguments are shit. I mean, they'll admit it. But their whole goal is not to present good arguments. It's to get converts. If you remember William Lane Craig, he is a despicable man, because he has openly said to his class, to his different classes that he's taught, that when he debates, he doesn't really care about atheists or Christians, because he says, well, the atheists are not going to be persuaded by my arguments. And the Christians, well, they already believe. However, my goal is to get those who are on the edge. And it's kind of, it's really, really rotten because he's not really after truth. He's not trying to get after the truth. He's just trying to get after people to convert. And ultimately, I think this is what Ray Comfort is doing. And granted, he's not going to take my arguments against his arguments seriously. I just want to, just once again, just show him that these are fallacious arguments. And, you know, if it's pointed out enough, it might eat at him. Because I know that that's what happened to me. I can only speak from personal experience, but I used to be a Christian, as I said earlier. And when I was confronted with these arguments against theism, I would dodge them. I would kind of like raid it. But after a while, it eats at you. And it might eat at Ray, and it might not. We'll probably never know, but hopefully it will. And hopefully after that, we'll have another atheist, hopefully.
Boy, won't that be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about planting the seed. And I think that tons of people need to know that when they go out to spread free thought, they should have no illusions, no illusions about the fact that they will probably never see somebody being converted, ever. But what probably will happen is at least one person or more, probably more if they do it enough. Over time, these arguments, like the argument from evil, for instance, it will eat at you. Or if you point out the absurdities within their holy book, they'll deny it at first. I mean, it's similar to a rape victim who denies that she's been raped. But over time, it kind of eats at you, and eventually you'll be forced to confront these things. And it won't be easy, but it'll happen eventually. And that's ultimately what I think people need to understand. It's just planting the seed in theist minds.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Dave.
Not a problem. Hope I wasn't too long-winded there at the end.
No. No, it was great having you on, man. For the audience, if they don't realize your integral role, once again, we mentioned it in show one, but your role in coming up with our rational precepts was indispensable. We joked, I don't know if you heard it, but we joked in the first show that the show should really be yours. So to the audience, this is the guy that we were talking about. He is the man. And a little bit on your background, you are in school right now. Yep. Studying to be.
Right now I'm in school for philosophy and linguistics. And ultimately what I want to do is go to graduate school. And study philosophy, and my main interests in philosophy are logic, philosophy of language, and philosophy of mind.
So no theologian for you?
No. Nope. I'll have to say, though, while I'm not going to be a theologian, I have to give credit to the Catholic school for getting me interested in philosophy, because I started questioning their, bullshit. And immediately that led to philosophy. Without that, well, who knows? I may be some bum.
Now, you'd make a lot more money as a theologian, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, lies and deception, and I mean, that sounds really good. I mean, people, I mean, and that's ultimately what it is. I mean, have no illusions that people like Kent Hovind, for instance, just to bring him up just because it's fun to, bring him up. I'm absolutely confident that he doesn't believe a word he says, but he's not going to change what he does because he makes millions a year. I mean, millions. I mean, and that's ultimately what he wants to keep. He doesn't want to, say, oh no, my arguments suck. I'm a hack. I mean, he's making a lot of money, and that's ultimately why people, when they say, well, when they try to rip on people like Kent Hovind, it's like, no, you don't understand. He's never, or almost never, going to admit that he's wrong because he's got too much money and too much time invested in his creationism, as bad, you know, as poor as it is. And, but yeah, I'm not going to become rich as a philosopher, but that's fine. I mean, money isn't everything. As long as I, which is philosophy and various other things, then I'm happy with that.
It's great, man. Well, we've got to wrap it up. And once again, this is the Rational Response Squad. Visit us at www.rationalresponders.com. Thanks so much. Good night.